from WBUR Boston. I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point, coming to you from Tampa. This week, Mitt Romney makes his case to America. Paul Ryan takes aim. The Republicans wrap up, Democrats rev up, and Isaac soaks the coast. Mitt Romney took the stage last night in Tampa and accepted the Republican presidential nomination, saying the country deserves better.
Now is the moment when we can stand up and say, I'm an American. I make my destiny. We deserve better. My children deserve better. My family deserves better. My country deserves better.
The GOP crowd lit up for Paul Ryan, who came out swinging at the president.
What did taxpayers get out of the Obama stimulus? More debt. That money wasn't just spent and wasted. It was borrowed, spent, and wasted.
And the president didn't sit quietly by. Here he was in Virginia campaigning in advance of the Democrats' convention next week in Charlotte, North Carolina.
We know we've still got a lot of work to do, but we are determined to get it done. We are determined to finish the job. We're determined to finish the race, and that's why I'm running for a second term.
This hour on Point, once more from Tampa, our weekly news roundtable with Bill McKenzie of the Dallas Morning News, Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist Cynthia Tucker, and On Point news analyst Jack Beatty, coming to you today from the studios of WUSF in Tampa. You can join the conversation today. What did you make of Mitt Romney's big pitch last night? Did he speak to you? What about the rest of the Tampa shebang? How do you see the Republican ticket, the Republican message? You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining us now from Dallas with a keen eye on all things GOP is Bill McKenzie, Pulitzer Prize-winning editorial columnist for the Dallas Morning News. Bill, it's great to have you here. Welcome back to On Point.
Thank you, Tom.
With us from Atlanta, Cynthia Tucker, longtime Pulitzer Prize-winning syndicated columnist and editorial page editor at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, now a visiting professor at the University of Georgia. Cynthia Tucker, welcome back to you as well.
Thank you.
And from Hanover, New Hampshire, taking it all in this week, Jack Beatty joins us. Hello, Jack.
Hello, Tom, Bill, and Cynthia.
Bill, Cynthia, Jack, it was the Republicans' week. Let's hear just a little bit more of the peroration of Mitt Romney talking last night about his ideal America, a united America, he said, that America he wants to create as president.
That America, that united America, can unleash an economy that will put Americans back to work, that will once again lead the world with innovation and productivity, and that will restore every father and mother's confidence that their children's future is brighter even than the past. That America, that united America, will preserve a military that's so strong no nation would ever dare to test it.
Bill McKenzie, you've been watching from Dallas. What do you think? You saw the hurdle that they faced. You wrote about it before they went into this week. Now they're out of their week. Democrats up next in Charlotte. Did Mitt Romney and the GOP ticket do the necessary for what they could, should get out of this moment in the spotlight, Bill?
Yes. I think they had a good convention. They had, with Paul Ryan, Mitt Romney, and Chris Christie, I think all three of those drove home the point, we will lead, we will make tough choices. Christie talked about shared sacrifices. I like those themes. I thought Romney had a good, not great speech, but he had a good speech last night. Everybody keeps talking about how he humanized himself. He did humanize himself. He showed what his life was like before politics. And I think he echoed that theme that they wanted to get across that, you can like Barack Obama, and that's fine, but we will lead and we will make tough choices.
Here's that theme last night, Mitt Romney asking the American people, when was the last time they woke up, he said, and felt something really special was happening in America.
Hope and change had a powerful appeal. But tonight, I'd ask a simple question. If you felt that excitement when you voted for Barack Obama, shouldn't you feel that way now that he's President Obama? You know there's something wrong with the kind of job he's done as president when the best feeling you had was the day you voted for him.
There we go. Cynthia Tucker, how did you see the challenge this week for the Republicans, and how do you think they did?
I thought that Mitt Romney's speech last night was good enough, not great, not a game changer. But I thought that the overall convention lacked a theme. I thought that there were moments that the Republicans wasted. This was a moment, I thought, a week for the Republicans to have an overarching theme about how they would lead the country forward. And I just didn't see that. Chris Christie's speech, for example, I thought was great for Chris Christie. I don't think it did a thing for Mitt Romney. In fact, about 10 minutes went by before he mentioned Mitt Romney's name once. I thought the convention got better as the week went on. Paul Ryan clearly energized the delegates. I thought he did his job very well. Mitt Romney did speak with some real humanity at moments last night. I found his speech too disjointed at the beginning, but that may have been because at first I couldn't get my mind off that very bizarre appearance by Clint Eastwood. But I thought Mitt Romney's speech got better as it went on. And again, I thought it was good enough, but probably not a game changer for him.
Jack, you know how it is at these conventions. In the hall, they were swooning for that and many other speeches this week. Yes, to Clint Eastwood, that was some kind of off-key thing, though he made some points in his existential performance art time on the stage. But what about it, Jack? The Republicans feel like they have laid out a big choice for Americans this week. You know, political parties caricature one another and maybe more than that, maybe misrepresent one another. And there may have been a fair amount of that this week. On the other hand, their goal was to lay out a big choice, and Republicans feel that they did it, that it's this kind of free enterprise, go for the opportunity, make all you can of yourself in America versus what they repeatedly described this week as a government-oriented, state-oriented, democratic view of things. Do you think they successfully drew that fork in the road, Jack?
I think they did. And when Mr. Romney said, the president promised that if he were elected, the waters would be, the oceans would begin to recede and the planet would begin to heal. And then he paused and he said, I just want to help you and your family. I thought that was the best line of the whole convention. The question is, does their program do that? It's very hard, it seems to me, to argue that it does. It's very hard to argue that a tax cut four times larger than the Bush tax cut that would give, the richest 5% of Americans would get half the benefits. Hard to see how that helps the average family. And in fact, according to the Tax Policy Center, the average family might have to pay up to $2,000 a year more in taxes because in order to maintain that big tax cut, tax expenditures like the mortgage interest deduction and the deduction for state and local income taxes, those would have to be eliminated. It's just very hard to connect that vision of showering benefits up and creating deficits and putting burdens on the middle class with that promise, I want to help you and your family. Whose family? What person are they thinking of there? And, you know, that gets to the issue, it seems, of Mr. Romney's sense that he is out of touch. It comes up again and again. Came up in the speech talking to college students where he said, you want to go to college? Borrow money from your parents. What country does he live in? Borrow money from your parents. I think they identified the right, a strong theme, but did they and does their program match up with it?
Well, of course, it all depends who you're talking to and how they're receiving what you're saying. Bill McKenzie, they're again within that Republican circle, and we'll see how it translates out to audiences as new poll numbers come in. There was a strong sense that there's another way, there's our way, it should work for everybody, we sure wish it would, and we'd like the country to try it. They tried to kind of put the Democrats in a box of negativity. Here was Mitt Romney criticizing Bill President Obama last night for, as he phrased it, refusing to embrace one of America's greatest principles, motivators, success.
The centerpiece of the president's entire reelection campaign is attacking success. Is it any wonder that someone who attacks success has led the worst economic recovery since the Great Depression? In America, we celebrate success. We don't apologize for success.
Bill, I'm sure you were listening there in Dallas, and all week long, do you think the Republicans effectively drew the philosophical contrast here, the choice they were looking for?
Yes, I do. And I think they also have kind of boxed President Obama in. I mean, they have on the one hand, tried to paint the picture, I think rightly, that you know, for a lot of people, they aren't better off than they were 4 years ago. And then they came forward, and Jeb Bush made this theme last night, and others have made it, is, you know, you are the president. You got to quit blaming others at some point. You've got to lead. If you won't, we will. And I think so in my book, I think they made it harder for Obama next week in Charlotte to go forth and make the argument, well, you know, I inherited this. They've kind of taken that argument away from him and said, you're the president. Are you going to lead? If not, we will.
Cynthia, there was so much talk about success and opportunity this week. Jack points to some realities that may interfere with that. But how does President Obama stay out of the box of sounding negative and, you know, sort of down next week once the Republicans have sat all over the success box here?
Well, let's remember that how few voters either candidate has an opportunity to appeal to here. All the cheers that we heard last night in that convention hall came from people who are already committed to the Republican ticket. So they're with Mitt Romney when he says that the president has been bashing success. I don't think that Obama will have any difficulty next week appealing to his committed voters.
And we will hear that. Cynthia Tucker, please stand by right there. We'll be right back. Bill McKenzie, Jack Beatty. We're looking at a week in the news, the GOP convention. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, coming to you one more time from Tampa, Florida. We're looking at a week in the news, Republicans making their case for the White House. Mitt Romney standing and delivering last night. Isaac soaking the Gulf Coast. We are in Tampa, next week in Charlotte, North Carolina, with the Democrats, with Cynthia Tucker joining us today from Atlanta, Georgia. Bill McKenzie from the Dallas Morning News with us from Dallas, Texas. Our own Jack Beatty is here. Last night, Marco Rubio introduced Mitt Romney with a punchy speech that hit at the president's record.
Let me be clear, so no one misunderstands. Our problem with President Obama isn't that he's a bad person, okay? By all accounts, he too is a good husband and a good father, and thanks to lots of practice, a good golfer. Our problem is not that he's a bad person. Our problem is that he's a bad president.
Problem, he's a bad president, Marco Rubio last night. And earlier in the week, Wednesday night, Paul Ryan with the vision, the goal for the Romney-Ryan ticket.
After 4 years of government trying to divide up the wealth, we will get America creating wealth again. With tax fairness and regulatory reform, we'll put government back on the side of men and women who create jobs. And the men and women who need jobs.
Enough with dividing up the wealth, said Paul Ryan. It's time to create wealth again. Bill McKenzie, Cynthia Tucker, Jack, standby. Let's go to our listeners. Colchester, Connecticut, Roger's calling. Roger, thanks. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I was really impressed with Mitt Romney last night. I've been a supporter since 2007, but there was so much to him that I'd never heard, never knew about. The stories of success that man has had in so many areas of his life. It's phenomenal to me that you could have so many undertakings and succeed and have so many people so impressed and have brought so many people along into that success with you.
So how do you see the choice? Having heard that story last night, how do you see the choice come November, Roger?
Oh, for me, it's an easy one. I'm a Mormon myself. I share the same traditional values that Mitt has, like I said, I've been a supporter since 2007, but now I can just see a much more well-rounded individual, know so much more about him after the convention, and I'm just all the more impressed. I really feel like he's the man who truly can make a difference for the country. He's not just going to occupy the White House, he's going to use it to really improve life for families.
Roger, I appreciate your call, and let's get one more right here. Framingham, Massachusetts. Mike is calling. Mike, you're on the air.
Hi, yeah, I'm an independent. I lean definitely towards the Democrat camp usually. would gladly go independent if they would give the independents a chance. But I'll have to tell you, I was impressed. I don't believe I'll vote for Mr. Romney, but I think he did a great job. But I also believe that he's got so much history behind him where he hasn't been, I guess you'd say, truthful. In fact, I've thought about this and watched him as he goes along since he was governor in this state here. I don't think there's one topic that he hasn't reversed himself on. And I think Mr. Obama will have an easy time. There is so much information out there, so much audio, so much video of him that I've always thought he was the worst candidate for the Republican to bring forward, but of the group they had running, he was the best. So I just don't see him getting outside of people he already had because even though it was so warm and heartfelt, when you look at his history and how he's made his money, the way he's made his money is basically what has hurt this country and has put people in the positions they are now. People like him, not just him personally, but that whole mindset of making money and outsourcing jobs and making millions. I mean, his party is the party that says don't tax the job creators, and Obama went along with that, which has angered me, who voted for Obama, to go along with that. We didn't tax them, and they didn't create the jobs. And then
Mike, we've got it. Let me take it to our panel, Mike, and I appreciate your call. Bill McKenzie, I guess, you know, many times what you hear depends on where you stand. You hear how Mike is looking at that from his angle, and he's got a lot of skepticism here about claims, about promises, about how things will work. What about in your neck of the woods, Bill, and how this played in Dallas and beyond, folks you're talking to?
Well, Texas obviously is a Republican state, so I'm sure his message resonated fairly well. I think to Cynthia's point that she talked about earlier, she is right. There is an increasingly small number of people that both candidates are speaking to, and these are folks who are, you know, the swing voters. Who I was thinking about when Romney was talking about this whole thing about success, I was thinking about voters. The Wall Street Journal had an excellent article about 6 weeks ago going into suburbs around Denver and interviewing people who are, for the most part, middle to upper middle class. And there were voters there who had voted for Obama before, but they felt like they just weren't going to go that way this time because they felt like he'd put a target on their back. These are people who were business folks, people who had been, you know, quote, successful. Mm-hmm. And I've interviewed people like this. That's anecdotal, my survey. I'm not saying it's scientific. But I've talked to people like that, and I think that's who he is – who they were trying to speak to last night.
You know, Jack, certainly there was clearly an effort here to reach out to people who might have voted for Obama last time and say, you can come on over. Just because you were dazzled and, infatuated with this guy 4 years ago doesn't mean you have to be now. Mitt Romney almost said it in those words. You don't have to stay with this guy if you're not feeling great about it. What about that appeal now, Jack? Even for people who may not be the target on their back, as Bill puts it, feeling business owners, what about a broader spectrum?
I think that's a very effective line for their campaign. They were trying that in advertising in July, and they concluded they needed to take a harder line, that they were giving too much to the president. And so we may see less of that, but I could see that was aimed to persuade people, to appeal to people's ambivalence, and to say, of course you like Mr. Obama, he's likable, he's tried to do the right thing, he's over his head, we have to change. That's a different message from the hard message of, you know, he's an incipient socialist, he's out to control the government, he wants to take over health care. And I think we're going to hear, at least according to the New York Times story on Sunday, we're going to hear more of the latter, that sort of base appeal to the Republican base, rather than the he's a nice man, but his time has passed. Perhaps we'll hear more of it, but I don't know. But, you know, the point that Mike raised I thought was such a good one about Mr. Obama, Mr. Romney's variability. 2002, I am a progressive, he says, running for governor. I was a severely conservative governor. And this gets at the issue of raised by the Economist, which endorsed Mr. Bush twice. They say competence is worthless without direction and, frankly, character. Would that candidate Romney had indeed presented himself as a solid chief executive. Instead, he's appeared, and this is The Economist, as a fawning PR man, apparently willing to do or say just about anything to get elected. That's from The Economist. Tough stuff.
You know, it's funny, though, last night, the appeal he was making seemed to be not on the severe conservative front. This is pretty standard attack to the center, I guess, after the primaries, but on his business competence. And behind that, the sense that the country needs, and you heard this from speaker after speaker this week, that the Democrats have got this idea that government will solve it. And, of course, Republicans saying loud and clear, no, that's not how it's going to work. Here was Chris Christie. This was Tuesday night in the keynote speech at the RNC, making the hard case for his party's ideals.
Now, I know this simple truth, and I am not afraid to say it. Our ideas are right for America, and their ideas have failed America.
Cynthia Tucker, how do the Democrats pick that up next week? Republicans saying again and again, come on, it's been 3.5, going on 4 years now. Yes, there were problems, but you've had your chance. Your ideas aren't working. What about that argument? How do you see the Democrats responding?
Well, I think that, again, back to Mike's point, that part of the one of the reasons it won't be that difficult for President Obama to look back at the Bush years is that Mitt Romney's program plans to pick up just where George Bush left off. He is endorsing exactly the same kinds of tax cuts, exactly the same kind of deregulation. And if I understood some of his foreign policy speakers, such as John McCain and Condi Rice, they seem to be suggesting more wars as well. So it's not merely that Obama will be looking back to the Bush years and blaming them. Mitt Romney is looking back at the Bush years because he's picking up that same philosophy. So I think it'll be easy enough for the president to say that's what got us in the mess we're in at the moment. And let me pick up on Jack's point about some of Mitt Romney's biography last night. I thought that one of the most interesting things is that in that film where he and there were a couple of speakers who alluded to Romney's time as governor of Massachusetts, there was absolutely no mention whatsoever of his premier accomplishment, which, of course, was the Massachusetts healthcare system, which is so much like the one that Republicans deride as Obamacare, and that Mitt Romney has now promised to reverse. No mention of that premier accomplishment when he was governor of Massachusetts.
And of course, very little mention of that in all of his campaign. That hardly popular, as Tim Pawlenty called it, what, Obamacare back in the day. But Bill McKenzie, what about this notion Cynthia raises that Romney means back to the Bush years, back to Bush policy? Is that what you're hearing out of this campaign? Is that what you think Republicans are translating from Mitt Romney? Or do they see something different here? What, Bill?
Well, I think Republicans are doing is they're putting markers down and they're putting all these different elements of debt reduction and economic growth into one basket. And they're saying, look, we're going to have to deal with Medicare. And I think Paul Ryan has laid out a plan that will give people under 55, you know, lots of different choices, government approved choices. I kind of like the way they're going. They're talking about tax reform, you know, to have simpler rates, fewer rates, and to deal with loopholes. Yes, they need to spell out what loopholes they're talking about. Yes, their details are going to need to be worked out. But I think what they've done is they put down the markers. We will reform the tax code. We will deal with entitlements. Those are the two biggies. There's a lot of academic literature that says that if you really go after the debt, you're going to help your economy grow. And I think they are smart to link deficit reduction or debt controlling the debt with economic growth. And I think that's a good strategy to pursue. I would say, if I can take 1 second here, I think both Cynthia and Jack are right. I think if I were advising Obama for next week, then I would, you know, I would hit Romney on the flip-flopper charge. I don't know what's going up there in Massachusetts with you guys, but you've now had two candidates, John Kerry and Mitt Romney, who are vulnerable on flip-flopping. And I would really drive that home. Which Romney are we talking about? I do think he's vulnerable there.
And what about the Obama charge we've already heard that that the Romney path would leave the middle class and the poorer out in the cold, Bill? Do you think Republicans have, you know, pushed their notion over the hump this week that no, no, and this goes back to Reagan and much further than that, this is where growth lies and growth is going to be good for everybody. The president says they're taking entitlements at your expense. They're cutting taxes on the rich. You know, the president portrays it as what the growth they're talking about is not for you, middle class.
Right. Well, let's go back to Jack Kennedy. Let's take the Republicans out of it. Jack Kennedy cut the capital gains tax in 1963, I think it was, and we had a an economic boon come out of that, boom of sorts come out of that. So there is data that will tell you that if you're going to control your rates of taxes, then you're going to, you know, have a corresponding economic repercussion. You know, the problem we're in, though, is that we need to grow the economy. But we also need to figure out a way to control this debt. And this is going to get confusing. But perhaps to deal with the debt, you need to do with what Simpson-Bowles Commission said, is that you're going to have essentially two-thirds, I think it was, come from entitlement reforms and spending reductions and about one-third from tax revenues. You know, I'm on board with that. But eventually we do have to take care of the tax code and reform it. And the theory is that if you have what's called a revenue-neutral tax reform, that's going to help grow the economy.
It did. Simpson-Bowles, of course, which the president set up and then did not embrace. Paul Ryan attacked him for that. But, of course, Paul Ryan on that commission and himself ended up standing in the way of what they were drawing up there being rolled out. James Carville, Democratic strategist, went after Mitt Romney's speech pretty hard last night on CNN. Let's listen.
There's not a word he said about economic policy that George W. Bush couldn't say. There's not a word he said about foreign policy that Dick Cheney couldn't say. There's not a word he said about social policy that Rick Santorum couldn't say. This was nothing new in the speech. This was all warmed over Republican stuff that we've all heard before.
All heard before. Let's hear from our listeners. Enterprise, Alabama. Josh is calling. Hi, Josh. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I just had a comment and a quick question. My comment, I'm not necessarily a Romney supporter. I do have some frustrations with the current president. And it seems to me that there's a lot of attacks on Romney for his success. I think he laid out his case pretty well last night. And I think the party has done a pretty good job of laying out the case that look, where he came from, his father immigrating from Mexico. Grandfather. And I think he laid out a case of an American success story, and it seems to me like there's still a lot of attacking on that. That's my comment. And my question is, what does your panel think the likelihood that Mitt Romney could, in fact, win the popular vote but lose the Electoral College?
And, why would he do that? Why do you think he might do that, Josh?
Well, as far as I just think that there's a possibility. I think Obama will likely win the Western Coast states. I think he will take large sections of New England. But I think there's a good chance of Romney winning much of the rest of the country in the popular vote and still coming out, still not having enough to get the 270 to take the presidency.
Josh, you've got it. And I appreciate your call. I should say, just for clarity, you are right. His father, born in Mexico, young, and grandfather brought the family up to the USA. That's entirely right. Jack, I don't know what the polls are showing out of this yet, but what about where you see the popular vote rolling after this? Well, we won't really know until after next week, and you've got both conventions up in play. What do you say, Jack?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I just hope we don't get back to tanging chads in Florida. That would be more than one could bear.
I'm Tom Ashbrook in Tampa. In other news this week, Hurricane Isaac blew by Tampa but brought the rain to Louisiana and Mississippi. More evacuations just in the last 24 hours. Here's one Louisianan in the town of Jean Lafitte.
A lot of people had left. I'd say 80% of the people are gone. It's like a ghost town. We rode last night just to check on certain people all the way to the end. And this time people took it seriously and they are gone.
No end to the bloodshed in Syria. Syrian President Bashar al-Assad told a pro-government television station his forces needed more time in what he called a global battle.
We are engaged in a regional and global battle, so we need time to win it. But I can sum it up in one sentence. We are progressing. The situation on the ground is better, but we have not yet won.
And Neil Armstrong, the first man on the moon, died at 82. Unforgettable. Here's his famous step onto the lunar surface July 20th, 1969, a reminiscence from 2005, and a bit of the music he took with him on Apollo 11 for the historic moon landing.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
It's a brilliant surface in that sunlight. The horizon seems quite close to you because the curvature is so much more pronounced than here on Earth. It's an interesting place to be. I recommend it.
Neil Armstrong, dead at 82. Can you imagine that music playing as you headed for the moon and that first step? We're in Tampa looking at a big week in the news. A few interesting moments here. Condoleezza Rice was there, got a rapturous reception in the hall. It was a white crowd, but Condoleezza Rice, a lot of respect from this crowd, and she also went at the theme of America being about success and not envying success.
My fellow Americans, ours has never been a narrative of grievance and entitlement. We have never believed that I am doing poorly because you are doing well. We have never been jealous of one another and never envious of each other's successes.
One of the big themes coming out of the Republican convention this week. And then, of course, Ann Romney, wife of Mitt, built her speech, she said, on one underlying theme. This was Tuesday night. Impressive speech. Theme, love.
Tonight, I want to talk to you about love. I want to talk to you about the deep and abiding love I have for a man I met at a dance many years ago. And the profound love I have, and I know we share, for this country.
It is all about love, 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 said Ann Romney. And right behind her came New Jersey Governor Chris Christie with the keynote speech of the whole convention saying Americans wanted something very different than just love.
Tonight, we are going to do what my mother taught me. Tonight, we're going to choose respect over love.
Bill McKenzie, was there no comparison of text before those two speeches got delivered? What was that about, Bill?
Well, I think the person who vetted those texts was the same one who vetted Clint Eastwood. No, I thought Ann Romney was very good. And, you know, here's a person who'd never given a speech like that to such a large crowd, you know, not only in the hall but outside of there.
Sure.
And, you know, we keep using this word, but she humanized her husband, and that's not always an easy task to do. And I think she also spoke, directly to women. I think, the line was a little bit jarring, something like, you know, I love you women or whatever she
yes.
said. It was a little bit jarring. But clearly she is speaking to, you know, suburban women, to female voters, and saying it's all right to vote for my husband. I thought she was effective in doing that. And so but you're right. There was a little bit of contrast with Christie.
Let's hear from our listeners. West Palm Beach, Florida. Francis is calling. Hi, Francis. You're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. Hi, everybody. I guess two points come to mind. One, Romney talked about a united America, but in South Florida here, I see a lot of take America back or our way or the highway talk. So I'm afraid he'll kowtow to the very right, religious right, and the Tea Party activists. I guess the second thing is that we need statesmanship. We are global, not a bottom-line management CEO approach, very myopic. So I guess those are the two things that come to mind after hearing his speech.
Francis, thanks for your call. I have to say, Cynthia, from the platform, from the stage, the podium there in the big hall, and all week long at this Republican convention, I mean, social issues were incredibly low profile, the lowest I've ever seen at a Republican convention. Francis is worried that with a Romney win, they would come back to the fore, not in a way that she likes, Mitt Romney pretty soft on them last night as well, though. I mean, she doesn't want a CEO. She wants a statesman. But clearly, Cynthia, Romney's betting, he's putting his bet on Americans wanting a business guy to get in there and take care of business.
Well, as to the social issues, Mitt Romney didn't want those coming to the fore in the Republican convention for a very good reason. Putting the Republican Party's platform out front would only exacerbate the gender gap, which Romney is already struggling with. The reason that there were so many female speakers highlighted at the convention, the reason that part of Ann Romney's charge was to reach out to women in ways that were explicit and, as Bill put it, sometimes jarring, is that Mitt Romney is looking at a huge gender gap. Women support Obama much more than they support Romney, and that's especially true for unmarried women. If you emphasize the Republican Party's hard right platform, which as far as I can tell, doesn't support abortion at all. This so-called
even in cases human, of rape, incest, and so on. Mm-hmm.
This so-called Human Life Amendment, as far as I can tell, and many legal scholars say, would outlaw all abortion. So Mitt Romney certainly doesn't want that coming to the fore. The problem for the swing voter out there trying to assess this is you don't know which Mitt Romney you're going to get if he were elected. In Massachusetts, he governed as progressive. He did not govern far to the right. However, if he were elected, who knows? Who knows which way he would go, because he has spent the primaries reaching out to Tea Partiers and other far-right voters. As for the statesmanship, like the caller, I would like to see more of that. I'm afraid, however, that we're such a polarized country that there isn't going to be much more of that over the next 4 years, no matter who's elected.
Bill, what do you think about Mitt Romney, the pragmatist as the likely guy in the White House, if he should take it, or Mitt Romney, the ideologue with a lot of fire-breathing conservatives at his back?
Well, I think Cynthia raised a good point. I hope it's the pragmatist. I think the Republican Party is vulnerable in social cultural issues. For the life of me, I still, you know, we've talked about this here before. I don't understand what they were doing in the primaries in alienating with their message about immigration. I just do not get it. And I think they have done a effective job of trying to drive Latinos away from them. I'm glad to hear people like Jeb Bush speak up this week, Dan Quayle, others saying, you know, we need to reach out, we need to add voters, we need to have a big tent. That's the message I think they need to have, a big tent, a Republicanism with a economic growth agenda. I hope it is Romney, the pragmatist.
Jack, you know, I can't help but note in that hall, on the stage, lots of people of color speaking, and there's no question, as Mitt Romney pointed out last night, that you have executives, governors, and so on around this state in government, Republican, certainly of color and ethnicity. But in the hall there, it is just, compared to a Democratic convention, it is overwhelmingly white there. Polls show that's where a lot of Romney's support lies. You know, when Condoleezza Rice was on that stage, Jack, you could kind of hear the applause was just wild for her, as if the audience was saying, we want people of color. Why can't they all be like you, Condoleezza Rice?
Yes,
but, you know, that's different from actually bringing people in. You had Jeb Bush saying this week about Latinos, if we just stop being stupid, he said to his own party, we could have a chunk of that vote. But it's not there in the polls now, Jack.
It isn't there in the polls. In one poll, Mr. Romney was receiving 0% from African Americans. I mean, zero. And you know, part of this goes to the prevailing, David Brooks calls it rampant hyper-individualism of the party. He says 57% of Republicans think that if you're poor, it's your fault. 28% think, no, it's the conditions. You have some hard luck. That's not a very sympathetic. There's not much social sympathy in that for minority populations that are struggling against the weight of bad history, and I think that's just that the individualism of the Republican Party leave out any issues of racial prejudice. I don't know that that's the issue. But just that alone, I think, tends to drive people away. And, you know, all the talk about success and the slogan, we built it on the wall, yet again and again, speakers from the rostrum evoking the struggles of their parents, their own struggles, singled out the helping hand of government. You know, the hand was there for Chris Christie's father in the shape of the GI Bill. It was there for young Paul Ryan after the death of his father. He used Social Security survivor benefits to help get through college. It was there for several of the young, for the small business people who spoke, who on examination were found to have benefited from SBA loans and government contracts. There's nothing wrong with that. That's the mutuality that sort of keeps us going. And yet, to Republicans, the helping hand is often seen as a hand out rather than a hand up.
Yeah, even for Mitt Romney, he told the story in his speech. This is a choice that he said when his grandfather came across the border from Mexico after in the revolution time in Mexico there, fed by the U.S. government at the border. But you could hear the party wrestling with this. Jeb Bush, you know, saying, look, we've got to look around at what people need. Condi Rice, even within her own speech, I mean, she began celebrating, saying, you know, the great thing about this country is it doesn't matter where you come from. It matters where you're going. That's the theme Republicans clearly love. But then she turned around and within her own speech and said, you know, there are just glaring problems with the realization of that sometimes today. Here's one moment when she pointed at education.
Today, when I can look at your zip code and I can tell whether you're going to get a good education, can I honestly say it doesn't matter where you came from, it matters where you're going. The crisis in K-12 education is a threat to the very fabric of who we are.
Condi Rice, she'll have a Republican solution to that education crisis. But you could hear Cynthia Tucker, even Condi Rice right there, acknowledging we don't have this perfect platform for advancement and opportunity.
Absolutely. You know, it is very difficult to have grown up black in America and not acknowledge that. And to Jack's point, let me say that I also found it interesting that so many of the Republican speakers talked about the struggles that their parents had and alluded to some government program that was there to assist them. But yet, the flip side of that is this explicit embrace of rugged individualism, as if there is no community, no government that supports the common good. But back to this issue of the Republicans and their problems attracting voters of color. Many leading Republicans, Bill alluded to Jeb Bush and Dan Quayle speaking about the Republicans' problem attracting minority voters. And this is severe for the party because it's looking at extinction if it doesn't reach out. But part of the problem isn't just this hyper-individualism. It's also explicit race baiting, as in Romney's very unfortunate ads claiming that Barack Obama is gutting welfare. They are not true. And they are a clear dog whistle meant to send a message to conservative whites who are still racially resentful. That sort of thing will never attract black voters to Mitt Romney's campaign.
You know, Bill McKenzie, it was interesting all week long. We were set up there in the convention center here in Tampa. And at Republican conventions, most of the radio is quite conservative right-wing radio. That kind of critique, the race-baiting charge that came out early in the week after some of those ads and more, just had the radio hosts there, you know, in a lather. They hate that charge. They, you know, and on the floor, people want to say, look, no, that's not what we mean. Look, we're applauding for Condoleezza Rice. What we really want is for people to strive, yes, maybe with government support, but strive for their own success. When we all do that, that's what makes this country great. Does that sell? Does it not sell? Does it sell a majority in this country anymore, Bill?
Well, look, they got 2 months left. Here's what I would do. I would focus on the fact that we have, what, 8.2% unemployment. We have economic growth at less than 2%. We have real disposable income, which is income after taxes and inflation, down below what it was even under Jimmy Carter and George H.W. Bush. And I would keep driving the home point home is if you're happy with that, then go down with the Democratic road. If you want to do something different and you're not happy with that, come talk with us. I would stay away from these larger social cultural issues. I would not get into the welfare issue. I think it's a it diverts attention. I would focus on the fundamentals of the economy and just keep driving that home.
Jack, what do you expect from the Democrats when they get together next week in Charlotte? It will be one big, in its way, response to this, and I guess they hope more. But what do you expect there, Jack?
Well, the president's slogan is forward. I want to hear about that. What realistically can we expect from a second Obama administration and posit a Republican Congress? What can he do? Will he work across the aisle? Is that possible? Will he compromise? Where? I want some real talk about that.
Cynthia, is there room for that? Does Obama have room to run on talking about a new way, or does he look locked in, boxed in?
I think that the choice for him is to outline specifically what he's going to do to produce more jobs than he did in the first term. I think he has to do that.
Have to do that and persuade people that he can get it through a Republican Congress, it's going to be. Tall challenge. Mitt Romney had his challenge. Barack Obama will have his next week. We will be there in Charlotte. Cynthia Tucker in Atlanta with us today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Bill McKenzie at the Dallas Morning News. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you all. Great fun.
And thanks, Jack, and WUSF in Tampa. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.